nothing ever seen on earth. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Hey, who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty and throne above, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to all praise is you, Lord. We stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, Lord. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
Amen. Brethren, let's just bow before the presence of the Lord tonight. Lord, we stand in the air of you, King of kings, the Lord of lords, the I am that I am, the great and mighty one. We stand before you, before whom no one can be compared with, before whom no one, oh God, can be matched with. You are the Lord. You are the Lord. We stand before you, before our God, our King, the God that says, stand and seal the salvation of the Lord. We stand tonight to see your salvation. We stand tonight to see your hand, oh God, move on our behalf. We stand tonight, oh God, see you speak your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But I just want us to just ask of the Lord tonight. We have come thus far. We have come this long. And we are looking up to Him. And the Bible says that when they lifted up their eyes unto Him, say they were not ashamed, their countenances were enlightened. Their countenance were not ashamed. It was enlightened because our eyes is lifted up unto the Lord. We have come this far. We will not be ashamed. We have come this far. God will show up for us. We have come this far. God will turn everything around on our behalf. We have come this far. God will strengthen us by His might and by His power. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. We thank you because we have come to the house of refuge. We have come to the place of deliverance. We have come to the place where you have set out as a place of encounter with you. And Lord, we long to see you. We long to meet with you tonight. Lord, we long to encounter you through your word. And we just want to pray that for each and every one of us that have come tonight, Lord, we pray you will speak to us. And speak to our situations and our circumstances. Lord, let there be a word for us. Lord, yes, you said you sent forth your word, and your word healed them of their diseases, delivered them from every destruction. Let that word be sent forth to us today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we vow we're going to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry for coming late. And we're starting a little bit late. So we're just going to trust God to help us within the short time we have to be able to look at what He has for us in His Word. Sorry, pardon me for my voice too. John chapter 20. It's a very familiar scripture which we all know very well, but I think a couple of days, or was it last week or so, when I was just thinking, and this passage of the scripture was just coming to my heart, just for us to share with. John chapter 20. We're going to read verse 1 to 18. And basically we're going to take our study from this verse, but I'm going to speak from other part of the scripture. So we're looking at a topic today, seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus. And thank God for one of the songs we took. My pastor, as the psalmist, declared. He said, as the deer panted after the water brooks, he said, so my heart seek after God. So that is where God wants us to be, particularly at this season that we are waiting on Him. That just like the deer that have been without water for a long time and they are striving. At times when I look at Discovery Channel, these animals, they don't mind however long they have to walk just for the scent of water, that they are perceiving it is there. They keep going. And in the process, so many things happen. But one thing is very certain is that when they see that water, how pleasant it will be to them. And I pray that that will be our encounter. We all will be satisfied in Jesus' name. He said, now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early. And when it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they had taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. And Peter therefore went out and the other disciples, and they were going to the tomb. And so they both ran together, and the other disciples outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, and yet did not go in. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciples who came to the tomb first went in also, and saw and believed, as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other on the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. And now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. he turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about seeking Jesus. And I just took time to look at, you know, that word, what, you know, to seek, what it means. It says, you know, to go, to follow after, you know, and you are following after. The primary sense and the primary thought in your heart is that you want to advance. You know, you want to go beyond where you were before. And you know, that's the sense that it was trying to paint, that you are trying to go after something, follow after something. You were trying to advance. And it also went further to define it. It says, to seek is to press and to drive forward. It says to search for something or to look for something intently. Praise the Lord. To search for something and to look for something intently. And that, to a large extent, you know, brings us back to the scripture which we had just looked at. And we saw what was unfolding at a point in time in the life of the disciples, as well as Mary Magdalene. An event that was so traumatic. An event was like that had happened, that was almost like their dream was done. Whatever they had bleeded for the past 3.5 years, all they have ever worked for was completely gone. And it was like they were completely confused, not knowing what next step to take. And you know that at that time, they were all huddled up in one place, hiding. It was like they were hopeless. No hope. Nothing was happening. But thank God for Mary Magdalene. And we know what encounter she has had with Jesus previously. And the Bible says that at some point, when, because of the love that Mary Magdalene had for the Lord Jesus Christ, that she went and got an ointment made of spikenard and broke it on Jesus' feet and was wiping that same feet with her hair. She had a great love and great passion for the Lord. And just imagine somebody, Jesus also to had cast, the Bible says he cast away 7 demons from her. And just imagine that same kind person who had that kind of influence on you, suddenly gone. Praise the Lord. See, I know, you know, some of us had lost, you know, somebody dear to us in our family. I remember when my dad passed also too. It was like, you know, a dream. It was, it, you know, kind of something I didn't want to face the reality, you know, earlier on. I just felt, oh, let it just be. It was just bad news. And it was just a dream. I'm going to wake up from that dream. And when I wake up, everything will be fine. And I'll be able to talk with him the next day. That was what I thought. You know, but it's a reality of life that when it occurs to us, you know, nobody can explain your hurt. Nobody can explain your loss. You see, just recently, daddy's mom just passed. Nobody can explain it. It's like you are like hit with something you can't even imagine. And you see, I was just picturing myself where they were at that time. Where they were at that time. The thing that most people would do is just to huddle and hide, just like what the disciples did. But Mary Magdalene did not stay there. And she heard about the fact that, yes, Jesus had been placed in the tomb, and she went after to seek after his body, as it were. And the Bible says that very early in the morning, the first day of the week, when other people are sleeping, when people are like, they are completely unaware of what was going on, Mary had an intention to seek after Jesus. And I just imagine, why was it that, as we go further, that she was the very first person, as it were, that encountered the Lord Jesus Christ? Simply because of that desire she had to seek after him by all means. In spite of the fact that it was a tomb,
a lonely place where there was nobody, nothing was happening. Everybody were afraid already. Everybody that was his disciples at that time, they were all hiding. And the Bible says that very early in the morning, she went to seek after the Lord. And she came to the tomb, as it were, and saw that the stone has been rolled away. And she went immediately to tell the disciples what had really happened. And the Bible says that the disciples, John and Peter, went after to see what was really happening. And mind you, when they were going, they were not going because they were like seeking after or expecting to see him. No. If you read that scripture, what the Bible said at the end, we're going to go there later on. They were not going that they were going to expect him to rise again. No. Because at that time, there had been a rumor going on that his disciples will come and steal his body. And they never believed what was really going to happen. They just wanted to just go and see as a witness what Mary just told them about. And the Bible says that they ran and they went to the sepulchre. That John got there first and from afar saw the napkin, saw the grave cloth. He says, for a while he stood outside. And Peter went in just to peep and look what was happening. And he didn't go inside. But suddenly, John went a little bit further and entered and seed and saw the way the grave cloth was arranged properly, as nothing has happened, like somebody came out of it. And the Bible says that he believed. He believed. But that same statement was not made of Peter. And that's why you found out that if you go to chapter 21, we're not going to go there. What happened to Peter? After they all had huddled together, at some point, what was his decision? He said, now, let us go out fishing. Let us go out fishing. And took everybody along to go out fishing. Because that mind and the heart to encounter the Lord at that time had not been revealed to them. So in a sense, there was no expectation to meet with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, for us, it is time, as the Bible puts it, for us to seek God. It is time for us to follow after him. It is time for us to pant after him like the deer pants after the water brooks. And we know for sure that there are so many reasons people seek the Lord. So many reasons. Praise the Lord. Let's look at that and we'll come back to this part. So many reasons people seek the Lord. In John chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. John chapter 6, 24 to 26. It says, and when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. So you see, there are reasons why people seek God. And yet Jesus was able to pinpoint why these men went as far as taking the boat to look after him. Shortly before that chapter, they had been fed with bread and fish, and they were looking for him because of that reason. And the reason why some people seek after God Because they want to be blessed. Because they want prosperity. Because they want a good job. Because they want a wife. Because they want physical thing that will perish with its use, as the Bible says. And you see, God knows the content of our heart. God knows those who will seek Him in spirit and in truth. And that's why He said to that woman at the well, He says, God is seeking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Those are the people God is looking out for. Who says God will not bless you with material things? He will, definitely. But you have to seek first the kingdom of God. He says every other thing will be added unto it. That's what comes first. Not the loaves, not the bread. Those are just additional blessings that come along as seeking the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there are times people see God when they are faced with desperate situations. Genesis chapter 32, verse 7 to 11. And we know that story so well. The story of Jacob. Jacob faced with the danger of encountering his brother. His brother that he had stolen his birthright from some years ago. And as a result of that, he had never once, the Bible never recorded any time whatsoever that Jacob called upon the name of the Lord. Except this particular passage of the Bible. And it says, and Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. There's nothing wrong when we encounter distressing times and we are afraid from seeking the Lord. But that should not be the basis. It should not be a last resort, as it were. That should be the very first thing we should look for. That should be the very first resort that we should go after, to seek after the face of God. And thank God for the fact that God was able to reveal Himself to him. And he called that place Peniel, that he saw the Lord and he was still alive. He could still witness it. Praise the Lord. I pray that we all will indeed encounter God in the name of Jesus. See, whatever the situation we face that makes us want to run to Him, I pray that by God's mercy, we will encounter Him in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, it is important for us to seek God early. Hosea chapter 10 verse 2 says, it is time to seek the Lord till He rains righteousness on us. It is time to seek the Lord. I think there's another part of the Bible that says, it says, seek Him while he may be found. Call upon Him while He's still near. I think Isaiah 64. So, praise the Lord. That we should seek Him while God is still near. Because you see, there are times and there are situations that though God will always answer them that seek Him in spirit and in truth. But there are certain times it may be very difficult to encounter God as we should if we do not seek Him at the right time as we should. And thank God for the many days we have been looking up unto the Lord, the many days we have been calling upon the name of God. And we're trying to set our priorities right as the year is starting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, Psalm 63 verse 1. Femi, Psalm 63 verse 1. It says, O God, Thou art my God. He says, "Early will I seek thee. My soul tasted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." See, at times, we get so bogged down by our work, by so many things. We get so, our schedule is so tight that at times we don't even find time to wake up early in the morning to seek the face of God. You see, I remember, you know, sometime as a young Christian when I was growing up. See, there's a brother, I've told this story before here. There's a brother, he will come to my room and knock at the door around 4 a.m. to wake me up and for us to go and pray and seek the face of God. You know, I must confess, it's not like that now. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking the mind of everybody. It's not like that now. I long to have that kind of experience that I used to have, that I could wake up even without being prompted. It's like it has become my subconscious, in my mind, in my heart, to rise up in the morning like that, to seek the face of God. At times I wonder what has become of me, as it were. And that's one thing I'm longing out for God every day, to bring me back to that time where I can rise up early in the morning to seek the face of God, to long after Him. And I believe that God is always there. The thing is that it's just us looking out for Him. And just imagine the text we read. Jesus was there when they came to that sepulchre, as it were. Not physically, I mean, because he's no longer there from the report of the scripture. But based on the expectations they had, that John saw but believed, but Peter did not even bother himself. He was just satisfied with the napkin, satisfied with an experience of the past. No. But the Bible says that Mary stood there and stooped and started looking at the sepulchre, waiting and crying. And brethren, I believe that as we consistently seek the face of God every day, not allowing our schedule to stand in the way, not allowing our pursuit to stand in the way. And yes, we have very cogent reasons not to do it. We have every reason to give as an excuse why it shouldn't be that. So, but I know that by God's mercy, God will revive us. God will revive us. God will revive us. God will cause that the rain of righteousness will come upon our lives in Jesus' name. And God will cause each and every one of us to encounter Him in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we just need to pray that God will put that desire back inside of us again. That the same passion that Mary had, that nothing could stop her. And that's the reason why you discovered that she was the very first person that was the one that went about to preach the gospel, even to Jesus' disciples, because she waited until she encountered the Lord. She was not satisfied with the napkin that she saw, though that was an evidence that Jesus was alive. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, let's see Isaiah chapter 55. Okay, that's the scripture I was looking for earlier. Isaiah 55 verse 6. And it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And just to reiterate what we had just said, you see, there's a timing, there's a particular season in our life for us to encounter God. God has a schedule and a season for us, particularly at such times like this. And it may look as though God is hidden, but he is not. He says, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. He says, when you knock, the door will be open unto you. And when God said, when the Lord Jesus Christ said this word, he meant what he said. And because he knew for sure that there are times so many things can keep us down. And God wants us to follow his own divine timing for us. So that we also too can be in the annals of history, just like Mary herself. That we are the very ones that encounter the Lord. And we're able to share with others that same encounter we had with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I don't know if anybody has any contribution. It's a very short study. If you have any contribution or question, you can just... Praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
John 20. It reads, for until then, they still had not understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. No, that kind of scared me. Mm-hmm. So these are disciples. These are people that were obviously with God, Jesus, through. They saw the miracles. They saw the teaching. They listened to the teaching. They listened to the word. But still, they did not still understand. So chances or probability is that even we as Christians, I'm just looking at myself, we as Christians, we might be hearing the word of God and not still understand what God is trying to represent in that word for us. It's very, very important for us to always come in, you know, asking God to give us understanding of his word. Because these disciples were with him all through, and he told them he was going to die. But still, they did not even still understand what was going on. They have no clue about what was going on. And another thing that jumped at me was that, you know, as they returned home, like you said, Mary was like dog-headed and said, even everybody is going right, I have to go left. She purposed and waited, not minding what others were doing, not minding what the society was, you know, what they were doing at that court present, not minding what even the other Christians were doing. She did not mind that the other disciples went home. Even when those are the people that are supposed to be a shining light, they were supposed to actually represent Jesus. She did not mind that they went home. She stood there, leaving the Christians and the pastors and the ministers and workers that are supposed to be the leading people to heaven, to Christ. It did not mind, but decided in her heart that this Jesus, where did they put him? And see, God, and this just opened my mind that God is moved by our emotions. Jesus is not, the angels did not ask him, why are you still standing? They asked her, why are you crying? They did not ask her why she's still looking. They asked her the emotional part. They saw, why are you? Because they saw the sincerity of her heart. And again, that is what is missing in we Christians. Most of our services are eye services. But we've forgotten that being not be deceived, God is not mocked. He knows the intention. He knows the intent of why we come to church on Sunday. Why we come to church on Tuesday and Thursday. If it's not right, he knows. We're not deceiving anybody. We're just deceiving ourselves. And when God sees our heart, he makes things happen. He makes things happen. He makes even things that people cannot even imagine happen because he sees your heart. He knows that everything you are thinking, you are not thinking for yourself, but for his glory to be revealed. I pray that God will continue to open our eyes to see more of his word and get more understanding of his word and help us to do things just to please him and not to please us. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, just like what my pastor said, you know, last Sunday I was sharing with the children. We're talking about that grace does wonderful wonders in our life, or grace changes things in our life. And we we're looking at the fact that our relationship with God is not based on observance of rules. It's not based on the law, as it were, the do's and the don'ts. It's basically based on the love we have for Him. First of all, Him for us. He says, God has first loved us before we loved Him. And that is the basis of our relationship with Him, even in the house of God. And you discover that, however wonderful the anointing is moving in this place, however great and powerful the word of God is, it is the individual person, his love and passion for Him, that makes him contact or link up with that anointing that is happening. And that's exactly what the scripture is trying to paint to us. It doesn't mean that because you belong to this church that you must have to be a participant of it. The only thing that makes you a participant of it is that you yourself, you have made that discovery and you have connected yourself to that source of anointing that is coming forth. And that is the only thing that makes the difference in our life. You see, whatever brings us here every Sunday, we just need to search our heart and find out. Is it because we love the Lord? Is it because we are seeking after Him? Is it because we just want to worship Him? Or because so that Pastor Mo would not say, I didn't come? Or possibly, oh, they say, okay, why was I at home? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it's important, you know, in the light of, you know, what we're talking about, to have that at the back of our mind. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for that. Okay, Daddy.
What we discussed in Sunday school on Sunday, we talked about commitment, right? We use Matthew 18. And when you look at verse 12 and 13, it tells you a lot of story about the commitment of our Lord Jesus Christ, how He loved us. So are we committed? Because you can't seek for something if you are not committed. I mean, take for example now, you are clamoring to become a professional person. You got to work for it. It's not going to just sit down and that thing will just walk down to you. So I believe that seeking after the Lord, because if you see this woman, just like you have mentioned, she went early in the morning. She was not just going there. She went, she stood there. She wanted to know what happened to His Lord, to our Lord, Jesus Christ. And she sat there. She was there. She was standing there until when the angel, he told others to come. They just, what they wanted to see is just to confirm. Oh, they already killed him. He's already gone. How come you coming to tell us story? So let's just go and see what happened. It's the level of commitment. You see some men of God. Daddy was sharing one story with us, one of these convention workers, workers meeting he had with us. He said he walk around the camp, and when he talked about it, it's not just 1 hour walk. He started to, praise the Lord, walking around the camp from midnight till morning time. 6 a.m. or 4 or 5 a.m. Still praising God. See the level of commitment. How many people can do that? They do 1 hour. They pray, that is enough for everybody. They already prayed. But that is where, that's what we are talking about. Seek after, because when you seek after the Lord, you gain more. It's just like you were in school, you seek for knowledge, you gain more knowledge. You can't know God if you don't seek after Him. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Rochella has a contribution.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, this, when you were talking and from reading the passage, it just, for me, it just reminds us again how this race that we are running is actually individual. It's not a, we are together, all of us together. It's not a marathon that you have many people. Yes, we all play different parts, but at the end of the day, everyone is individually responsible for his own faith. It's not about, oh, my father is a pastor, or my mother is a deacon, and so the grace of my father has covered me, or that the grace of your father as a pastor has covered you, being a pastor has covered your children. At the end of the day, everybody is responsible for the time that they are willing to commit to spending and seeking the face of God. You know, he just struck me that Mary stayed back, and while she was there, Jesus didn't appear to, when the others came, Jesus was, like you said, Jesus was there in spirit form, but he didn't manifest to all the others. He chose not to manifest, because probably he was looking at the level of what their expectation, what they had in their mind, how long suffering would they be, how much time would they be willing to, were they even expecting to see him? You know, even though Mary wasn't expecting an alive Jesus, let's be realistic, it's not as if she was expecting Jesus to be alive, but she just wanted to see Jesus, whatever state he was. So that's why she asked those angels and said, do you know where he did? My master, he was here, and they've taken him. And then when Jesus himself came, she said, thinking he was the gardener, she said, oh, if you are the one that took him, tell me where you have taken him to, so that I can go and get him and take him away. Because she just wanted him. And she wasn't, and of course, our biblical accounts of Mary, she wasn't the most perfect person. She wasn't the most religious, or the most, if it's by the account of how much time you spend with Jesus. I think the 12 disciples spent the most time. And Judas, of course, was one of those 12 disciples. Whereas, at that time, he had even killed himself anyway. Meanwhile, the other 11, Peter being the most, Peter, James, and John, of course, being the closest to him, still didn't have that level of expectation. No matter what it costs, I just want to see Jesus. And so that paid off for Mary at the end of the day, because she ended up being the one that had that personal encounter with him. And that's just my takeaway tonight, that at the end of the day, it's just an individual thing. It's not about your position in the church, or whether you are the pastor, or you are just a floor member. It's about your expectation. When the children of Israel declared a fast, and they were all fasting, when God was going to speak, he didn't speak to the king. He didn't speak through the priests. He spoke through a random young boy that nobody knew. Only God knows what God saw in the heart of that young boy. And he chose that, okay, this is the person I'm going to use to communicate to the children of Israel at the time. And of course, he already said it when God was going to appoint David. He said, we human beings, we are so carried away. We look at the outward appearance, what people are doing, how much they show to us based on their actions that they are committed, or how their stature, the outward is what, that's all we look at. But he doesn't look at that. What God looks at is the heart. That's why on the last day, it's going to be a very tough day, because so many things, when people's works are being tried in fire, how many of it will be able to stand? Whereas some people that you don't even expect the least from, they will just walk gallantly into the promised land. God will not let that be our portion, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, Okay, Auntie, do you have something to say?
I don't want to agree with him. Okay. It's a personal thing, as he said. I'm just agreeing with what he said. Because one would have thought that Peter would be the one to see Jesus and come and tell them that I've seen Jesus. He should have been the person to follow up, because he was his best friend. He was the closest, even as my brother has said. So that just brings me back. I'm just feeling that you, that you're looking at that person, has not been qualified. It's not that same eye that God is using to look at the person. That person you think does not know it. That person you think has a bad spirit, that is not born again properly, does not know the word, does not know how to quote it. You don't know the relationship between that person and God. Because Mary Magdalene was not the only person. How come other people came? They just looked and went away. And yet this is a woman who had a problem and Jesus solved. I see it as an act of, gratitude. And she was still thankful. She had done everything to show her gratitude to God, to Jesus, that even in death, her mind was still there. She didn't give up. And Jesus had touched her so much that she could, it was like, oh, whatever happens, I know he's the one. He can do it. I still have faith in him. So even today, like you rightly said, in those days, nobody will have to wake you up, and you just wake up when it's time. God sees our heart. It's not like you don't want to wake up, but distractions here and there. You already have a lot of things in your heart. Before even time to wake up, maybe you have woken up, you have started thinking, what am I going to do today? Where am I starting from? When will I go? So your mind is already occupied. But you find out that once your mind is clear, nobody wakes you up. Once it is 6:30, unless I've overslept, slept too late. Even when I have slept too late, I'm sorry, it's happening to everybody. The Holy Spirit will still whisper to you, it's 6:30. Let me do small. You'll wake up by 7. But the Holy Spirit will always come. But because we are distracted with so many things, we don't even hear when the Holy Spirit is talking. Now, I want to talk about a timing of seeking the Lord. We're talking, we're talking about something. Now said, at the time that we do that prayer, you were there, that there's no distraction at that time. If you want to wake up by 10 o'clock and seek the Lord, everybody in the household are up already. Some are playing music, some are talking, some are doing, somebody is cooking, some are doing sweeping, one thing or the other. But when you wake up about 5 o'clock, that time that Pastor Motosho is having his, that time is always somehow, the atmosphere is like the presence of God is really there from 5 o'clock to 5:30, 6 o'clock. So God will help us, because if there's somebody to open up to seek the Lord, he's always there to help. Look at Mary, didn't have to stay there for too long before he came from behind and revealed himself to her. I believe that when God gives us the grace to seek for him like that, be committed, he will always not allow us to suffer. He will not allow us to struggle. When we have problems, that problem pushes us to seek God. May we respond in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, you see, one thing I want us to take out from our discussion this night, is to make up our mind, as it were, to look at a time, an opportunity that is, we know it is convenient for us to indeed have that connection with the Lord, as it were, to seek his face. And particularly at this time that we are waiting upon the Lord, so that we'll trust God to help us to have a new beginning and a new direction. And for us to look at where we have been and how we can trust God to take us beyond this level, to the level that he wants to take us to. You see, brethren, the encounter that Mary had totally transformed her life and made her, as it were, a pioneer. Somebody who was the very first person that proclaimed the gospel. And I believe that there are so many new things God wants to do with us. And that as we set that our priority aright, God can make us pioneers in those areas in our lives. And we can have new beginning in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm trusting God that God will indeed help us in Jesus' name. I just want us to just stand up to pray. Let's stand up to pray and just... The Bible says that the race is not in the swift. The battle is not in the strong. But it says time and chance happening to them all. And what we saw in Mary, it's not how long you have been there, but it shows how committed you are in seeking the face of God. So I just want us to just pray God to help His church, help us as individuals. It's a matter of individual thing. It's a matter of me and you standing before the face of God. God, grant us help in Jesus' name. Grant us help. Grant us help in your house. Teach us how to seek you early. Teach us how to seek you at the appointed time. Teach us how to seek you at the time that you will come to rain righteousness upon us. Father, we pray that even tonight, that you will help each and every one of us to have that connection with you. Let our heart long after you like the deer long after the water brooks in Jesus' name. Bring that change and transformation in our lives in Jesus' name. I pray that God, we will not be little, oh God, or despise the days of little beginning in our lives. Help us to take every little steps we can, oh God, for you to encounter us. Lord, we pray for strength upon our hearts and strength, oh God, upon, oh God, our bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask, oh God, for direction from you from this very time in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.